The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Lazarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go.
Oh, you know it. It's back.
We're back.
We're back. The Deuce in the house. Finally, the beloved, maybe stepchild of the Bengals Beat podcast family, but I love it all the same, just like it's my own. And that's the BBP too.
The BBP.
So we're happy to have it. And I got my man, Kareem Elgazar. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a photojournalist. He's a visual journalist. But he does it all. He's like, I'm hopping in. Give me in front of that mic.
I'm trying, man.
Give me that mic.
I know a couple things now.
You do know. You know more than a couple things.
I know, man. I've been following the team long enough. I know a few things.
You know a whole lot. And you hear more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
That much I do know.
You know, some of the stuff I can't share, but you know.
It gets a little, sometimes things get a little weird and heated down there.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially when Adam Jones is on the team.
That dude gets heated on the sideline.
Yeah, man.
That's part of his DNA. So this is the Deuce. This is more of our game preview podcast. As you know, we got the walkout now, which is looking back on what happened when we post that right after the game, walking out of the stadium. We've got the main BBP, the OG BBP that always runs on Tuesday morning. That's the big daddy. That's sort of the big picture podcast about the entire team and where they're at. This is about this week's game. So Kareem and I, we're gonna talk through a little bit of what to look for between the Bengals and the Colts, but also I got a few treats for you. It's a cavalcade of guests.
He's got treats.
I got treats. This man's got treats. So I've got Indy Star columnist and former Cincinnatian Greg Doyle joined me. So I've got about 10-15 minutes with him. He's hilarious. A good story about a very awkward interaction he had with Andrew Luck this past week that honestly made me a little awkward just in the conversation. So stick around for that. We will offer our predictions of what we expect to happen officially on the record. And then after that, Optimistic Bobby is back.
Oh, yeah.
The fan and all of you. He will rightly point out that we don't really need him this time of year because everybody's optimistic. But he's got all the good stuff. Owner of 50 West, Bobby Slattery, Optimistic Bobby, it joins to give his always enthusiastic perspective. And then Beyond the Stripes is still a show that we do.
Looking good.
We did it in the studio now.
Yeah.
So we're in the studio with Beyond the Stripes. Same great content. Just in the studio. Sorry, no autograph sessions and like able to come down and do all that stuff at any of your local watering holes. But we're in the studio, so it's still the same stuff. So I have the hot seat, Paul Dougherty, and our guest this week was Michael Johnson. You can check all that content. It's up on the website, Cincinnati.com. It's on the Bengals app. Make sure you get that stuff. So that's what is coming. All of that
it's a
is
lot
coming.
Of stuff.
And everything's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot
right
of
now.
Stuff. That's good.
Kareem, we got too much stuff.
Hey, man, we got a lot of work to do, but it's good.
We do.
Work is better than no work.
We need work.
That's right.
Was I laboring on Labor Day or what?
He's on. He's working on Labor. That's our day.
I know. That's it.
It's for guys like me and you.
I know, but I blew it because I was too busy. Season's happening.
I don't think you realize this.
Labor Day is always at a bad time. Labor Day comes at a time where I got too much to do.
I know, man.
Trying to preview a season. I can do a million things.
Did you realize it was Labor Day?
Barely.
Or did you just it's Monday. I got to work.
I fired off too many emails.
See the people? He's working for you on Labor Day.
I was. All you guys, you're out there. You're drinking your coast to coast, and you're punching the IPAs and eating your barbecue. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm grinding out, sending emails.
Hey, I was chilling.
Yeah, I know you were. Let's talk a little bit about this game. So, Bengals come in. You'll appreciate this. You're a big fan, Degenerate Corner. Mm-hmm. 3-point dogs in this game.
That's wild.
Wild. To me, it is wild.
Like, I mean, I understand the road team or whatever.
You want to show me a pick'em? Okay.
I'll take that.
I could see that. Just because Indy's at home and they got Andrew Luck. And Indy's kind of in shambles, man.
Shambles?
I think they're shambling.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I mean, Luck's coming back. He's going to have to get, reintroduced to playing NFL football. The running back situation, I don't know what the situation is exactly. Yeah. I don't know who's
murky.
Murky. I don't know who's carrying the ball. They do have a couple bright spots. They got T.Y., always dangerous. But, we're going to have to see Luck throw the ball down the field. I don't think we've seen that yet.
He hasn't done a ton of that.
Yeah.
I think they feel comfortable with what that's going to be. But the last thing they need is him getting hit. Mm-hmm. Anthony Costanzo, their left tackle, is a little dinged. Frank Reich, their head coach, will be in his first game, sort of said today, we're recording this Wednesday evening, that he doesn't know if he's going to be able to go this weekend. It's up in the air. That would be bad.
Terrible.
That would be bad because, these guys, the Carl Lawsons and Jordan Willises and Carlos Dunlaps of the world.
They're coming.
They are coming, and they're coming in waves, and they're going to be fresh. Right. Marvin Lewis kind of said something interesting. You were with me in Buffalo,
right?
And he said the first half of that Buffalo game was the rotation, how they'd like it to play out of that front, right? And we saw everybody.
Everybody got in there.
Everybody was in there. Everybody was in on it. I mean, it was a full, deep, 7-8-man almost rotation. And if they stay true to that, and obviously in the fourth quarter, who's going to be out there.
You're studs.
Yeah, but, I mean, they stay true to that. I do think, they're 5 to 10 percentage points better in that fourth quarter by doing that.
It's just little fresh legs. I mean, there's general freshness, especially Geno. If they can get, every 4 or 5 plays, take Geno out, get some relief for him. In the fourth quarter, you don't want to see a fresh Geno Atkins in the fourth quarter coming at you. Carl Lawson coming at you. Carlos Dunlap.
Especially if you've had offensive line issues. So this Colts team, here's why I think they're in shambles. And not shambles for our first game. The Bengals could not have caught them at a better time. Andrew Luck's first game back. Frank Reich's first game. New coordinators. One switching to a new system, going from 3-4 to 4-3. They're still trying to get personnel to fit that. They just cut their most disruptive pass rusher in Josh Simon.
Who knows what's going on in the running back situation.
The running back. Yeah, I mean, they just have a mess going on. And on defense, the quote that we heard that was tweeted out that kind of was circulating about 3-4 weeks ago was from an anonymous person in a Colts press box that this defense has a long way to go if they're going to be bad.
Mm. Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, they just, they have Malik Hooker, who looked really good in 7 games last year and got hurt. And, Darius Leonard looks like a really nice second-round pick, a linebacker. And then –
yeah. The crickets,
Shrug. Right. Costanza shrug, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what else they have.
Right.
It sets up to me like the Bengals should be able, if their offense is really good, should be able to run up some points on them.
And I mean, like I said, Dalton's been looking sharp.
He has.
AJ's been looking good. And John Ross, that catch in Buffalo was really important for the offense, for the mojo. For the confidence.
Yeah.
And, in the prediction video, I mentioned that if John Ross, obviously you want to see John Ross make catches, make plays. But if he's at the very least, at least in my opinion, a effective decoy,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to open up plays for AJ, space for AJ, space for Eifert. And I think we're going to see a lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is we haven't seen a lot of what they're really going to do. They've mm-hmm. kept it vanilla on purpose to try to kind of surprise people. And we just know all the weapons that Dalton's at his best when he's involving everybody. You know, it all is going to come down to this offensive line. Are they dog crap or are they average? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, if they're dog crap, this team will not make the playoffs. If they're average, they will.
What we've seen is that they're average to maybe a little above average in pass protection.
To this point
in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the record shows, the history shows, if you give Dalton some time, he's best at looking and finding an open receiver. He's really good at that, and he's really good at putting it on the mark. But otherwise, you know, if the offensive line is what it was last year, you know,
we know what that looks like.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
We know it's what not, that looks like. Know, and then, it's not yeah, pretty. It's and, not pretty. You know, we may end up seeing Jeff Driskel at some point because, yeah, you know, maybe you get your quarterback hurt doing that type of stuff. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
All right, let's quick move it over. And I want to bring in the conversation with Greg Doyle, who is the columnist at the Indianapolis Star. He talks about all things Colts, a lot of really good insight into what is going on over there. So here is Indianapolis Star columnist Greg Doyle.
All right, welcome into the BBP2 as we go to the opposing team, and that means going over not too far, the shortest distance to travel in the NFL, which I'm very excited about this road trip of all of them this year as we head to Indianapolis, and that means talking to columnists from the Indianapolis Star and former Cincinnati radio host, Greg Doyle. What's going on, Greg?
Yeah, that's, in Cincinnati, I did a lot of stuff there for CBS. And, oh, by the way, he had a crap radio show. Let's go ahead and highlight that, Paul. Thank you so much. Let's also highlight the time that Ken Griffey threatened to kill me and the time that Adam Dunn actually threw a water bottle right next to my head. Let's talk about those.
But we can talk about those. You're right. I picked the wrong thing out. You've been doing incredible work for CBS. You were for a long time before coming over to Indy. I still remember being in Indy at the Super Bowl and doing some work myself for CBS, and you decided to go do a huge like boxing event and write about it. I think you fought. Didn't you fight like a real dude? If I remember correctly. Super Bowl week.
Well, that was just a small event, but I was into sparring a whole lot back then. I wanted to work out, and so I actually found Chris Lytle on Twitter and tweeted him, "Hey, can we spar a little bit?" Chris Lytle at the time was a UFC active fighter. He's retired now, but anyway, we sparred six rounds or so, and he beat the crap out of me. Every time there's a Super Bowl, I go spar somewhere, and it never turns out well for me. Phoenix was like a year or two before that, and I went out there and I went to this little hole in the wall gym where it's Phoenix and everybody's speaking Spanish, and I get a lot of young up and coming Mexican fighters and some promoter guy, trainer, I don't know what he is, came up to me and said, "Hey, I got a welterweight over here, he's got a fight coming up, he needs a few rounds with a southpaw, would you go with him?" Okay, fine. So I went with him and he broke my nose.
Oh, no.
Broke the hell out of it. And I remember because it was Monday. It was Monday and media day at the time. I'm not sure if it still is, but media day was Tuesday. So I go to media day on Tuesday, and I mean, my nose, it wasn't just broken. I mean, it looked like I had a banana on my face. And I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't go to the hospital. I just broke my nose. Actually, I kept sparring like three more rounds because I knew I was bleeding, but didn't really understand how bad it was. Kept going. But so things don't work out for me well when I spar, put it that way.
Playing through pain and still going through the whole week despite your broken nose, I think, should have earned you some credit with the dudes you were covering at that point.
You know what I should have done was actually use that as an excuse to not cover media day, which is absolutely the worst day of the year.
It's not good. It is an absolute crap show. Well, let's talk a little bit about another crap show, and that's one that might be happening on Sunday, Lucas Oil Field. General feeling on the Colts, they got a new coach. Obviously, Frank Reich now, after a bit of a debacle with the hiring process, as Josh McDaniels came in and went. What is even the feeling around the team right now after, you know, a wild January and everybody trying to get adjusted where everything's pretty much new over there?
Well, if you're talking about, like, how do Colts fans feel about this franchise right now, and maybe even the team itself, I think everybody thinks, most people think they're going in the right direction. Because for 4 or 5 years, even though Pagano and Grigson, the coach and the GM before, they got to an AFC title game in 2014. I mean, they did some stuff. There's no denying they did some stuff. But almost from the moment that game happened, they lost 45-7. That was the Deflategate game. They were going to lose anyway. It really didn't matter. But they did get cheated, for the record show. The Patriots did cheat, and I don't like that. But not that it matters. From that moment, they've been on a downward trajectory, and we all saw it. We didn't see it at that moment. Although, actually, some of us sort of did, I remember. But anyway, from that moment, downward trajectory. So it was just a matter of time. When are you going to fire all these people? They finally fired Grigson 2 years ago, fired Pagano last year. And they have better people. Bowler is a much better GM than Grigson. Frank Reich, I think, is going to be really good. He hadn't coached a game yet. I don't know. But I respect what he says. Like, Pagano talked, and I'm like, what the hell are you saying, Chuck? I didn't understand what he was saying. I didn't understand the demeanor he had. Like, this is not – you don't work for a Boy Scout troop, and you don't hand out orange wedges. Like, at some point, say something real about your team stinking. So – yeah, they were in the wrong direction with those guys. I think we think they're in the right direction now with Ballard and Reich. At the same time, they were in a bad hole. You know, sometimes people are around and they undercut a house's foundation, but the house is still standing there. And those folks move out, and the house falls apart on the next tenants. And like, oh, it's your fault. You're the new tenants. The house fell. No, the house fell apart because the last tenants were so bad. And the house fell apart last year. Luck got hurt. 4-12. All that. They're still trying to rebuild the house. And frankly, it's a little bit slower than I thought it would be, and I realize 4-12 was just 1 year ago. They haven't played a game since, but Ballard's turned this roster upside down, and like the offensive line almost entirely new, defense almost entirely new, and judging on their third preseason game, which is all we have to go on right now, I mean, we'll see what happens, but the third preseason game, that's the one game you take seriously, that's the one game your starters play the most, that's the one game that if there's any hint of what you're going to be, that's the game that shows it. Let the record show they won that game. Let the record show the Cleveland Browns were 4-0 last year in the preseason, so it really doesn't matter who won the game. The Colts looked terrible. Their offense looked terrible. They couldn't protect. So I don't know. The direction they're going in, big picture, I'm sure it's better than it was, but they're not any good right now.
And really, the first thing that anybody wants to know, I mean, certainly nationally, and the only thing that can probably save them at this point would be, well, if Andrew Luck can get back to real health, then maybe they have a chance. What is going on with Andrew Luck? I know he's obviously been playing, but he was throwing small footballs, and then he was only throwing real footballs short. And what has Andrew Luck looked like, and what are the real expectations for what he's going to look like on Sunday?
You know, that sentence you just said, it's the only chance they might have is Andrew Luck doing crazy stuff, which means we're right back where we've always been with the Colts.
Right.
New coach, new GM, same Colts, which is Andrew Luck and a whole lot of hoping. So we'll see. He's not cut it completely loose in the preseason games. I mean, I don't know that he had any throws that you would say, oh my gosh, only a great shoulder makes that throw. Just they didn't call those kind of plays. But he says he can do the whole playbook, and they wouldn't put him out there if he couldn't make all the throws. So he looks good. I mean, the throws he made, the throws they let him make, I mean, he looks real good. He looks real good. And I will say this, too. His rehab, he was never out of shape. I saw Jay Cutler shirt one time in Chicago and scarred me. Jay Cutler with a shirt off, I'm like, and it was in a locker room after a game. A lot of guys have their shirts off. Okay, I'm not a creeper, but the shirt was off. I'm talking to him. And you don't look like a pro athlete, sir. You just do not. So Andrew Luck was never that. Never that. But he was more in the middle range of you're a pro athlete, but you know, you look fine. You're 6'4", 240, but you don't. What I'm telling you is that right now, I saw him yesterday with his shirt off, and a little bit creepy. And I'll tell you what I said. And I'm not sure he liked it, but I mean, he's ripped. He's ripped, and I mean, he's ripped everywhere. And I mean, his back is ripped, his front is ripped. I mean, he's ripped, and I've never seen that before. I'm bringing that up because I've never seen that before from him, which means his rehab. I mean, he really worked hard. And when he walked by, you can only talk to Luck on Wednesdays. And he's a nice person, so he's not going to be a jerk about it. But we all respect that. We'll interview you Wednesday. But I always like to say hi to him when I see him. I like him. And so he walks by. First time I've seen him with his shirt off, and I haven't told anybody this yet, so what the hell. He walks by, and I said, looks like you've been shopping at the liquor store. Nice six-pack. And and he goes, thank you. Kind of like let me know. That was awkward. And I'm like, oh, crap, you're right. That was awkward. And and I avoided him. I avoided him after that. So we haven't spoken since I told him nice abs. So I don't know what to say, but that's just kind of what I do.
I think avoiding eye contact for a minimum of 2 weeks is a penalty for that. I don't know. This is a social cues handbook. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So that's, the Andrew Luck story. Just thinking, if you want to read more about the Andrew Luck story, I highly recommend Zach Kiefer's piece at the Indy Star right now, which is incredible on his year away, and what really, was going on with him. It's a wild story. The defense seems to be a train wreck from afar. Is that an easy way to just generalize it? Malik Hooker could be good, and everybody else is a whole bunch of, this could be a long year.
Yeah, I've got a story coming up in a day or two addresses a little bit of that, and what it addresses is you're half right, and you wouldn't know about the other half, but we're all going to find out. The Colts have two guys, which is two more than they've had in several years. They have two guys who might be special playmakers, too. One of them is Malik Hooker, who really come, I mean, I know Cincinnati, they got to know, Ohio State and all that, but he was a receiver and a cornerback, I think, in high school and didn't really become a safety until he got to Ohio State. Redshirts his first year, doesn't start as a freshman, redshirt freshman, starts 1 year, redshirt sophomore, starts 1 year, All-American, I think. Obviously, he turns pro, gets picked in the first round. And then last year, played seven games before he got hurt, had three picks in those seven games. Point of all that is, he's still new at this position. We have no idea what his ceiling is. I mean, we have no idea. But we know it's pretty good. Three picks, seven games, still as a rookie. So he's going to be special. I'm pretty sure of that. The other guy, second-round pick this year out of South Carolina State, Darius Leonard, is starting outside linebacker since the day he got healthy. He had a little quad issue. But since the day he's been healthy, he's been starting outside linebacker and making plays in preseason games. And I realize it's preseason, but either you do or you don't, and he did. And he has a chance to be special. I'm not like Malik Hooker could be, Pro Bowl special someday. I don't know about Darius Leonard. I have no idea. But they finally have a second guy. They finally have one guy, Hooker, and now they have two, Leonard, where you think those guys can make some plays. But to answer your question, everybody else stinks. And that's saying a little bit harsh. They got some nice players. I mean, Al Woods is a nice defensive tackle, and Pierre Desir and Kenny Moore, they're nice cornerbacks. They are nice. I mean, they got some nice players. But their defense overall will be a train wreck this year based on what we saw in preseason, which was they couldn't stop anybody, not anybody. So I expect them to get in a lot of shootouts, only their offense is shooting pea shooters, so it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. All right, Greg, well, I appreciate you sharing a little bit of time with us. I enjoyed hearing about your broken nose and your awkward social interactions with quarterbacks.
Yeah, listen, is this going to be like available to people in Indianapolis? Because they're already mad at me. Because how dare you go to a preseason game, much less one the Colts won, and write that they're in trouble? They're mad at me. Not all of them, but the ones you hear from on Twitter, which is everybody. I mean, they're mad. Like, you're a jerk. You're always negative. You're this. You're that. You're always. Like, I was right about Josh McDaniels. You guys, every now and then I'm right about when I'm angry about stuff. And the Colts are not very good, and so you're just going to put it out there. It's going to make him come after me all over again. And I'm sorry I'm saying the truth to you folks.
I'm sorry. Look, they have access to the Bengals Beat podcast if they'd like to listen. I think if they want to hear your thoughts, they're not sick of hearing from you already, they can come for more and have their opinions solidified. But, I will say, I did appreciate you never wavered on your stance on Josh McDaniels. That has to be the day of vindication for you when it proves everything that you've been saying to be 100% correct.
I tell you what, the day that it was announced he was pulling out, I did not feel vindicated. I was not like happy, like, look at me, I'm right. I was furious. I'm furious at him for doing it. I'm furious at the Colts for allowing them to be played. Like, I was mad at everybody. And I think the story I wrote that day was madder than the one the day they hired Josh. The day they announced it, I ripped it that day. And ripped it ever since. And then the day he pulled out, I ripped it even harder. Like, this is what I was telling. Vindication. I don't allow myself that. I just indulge in anger. It's my best trait, I think.
One of my favorite rage columns ever written. If you have a chance to go back and search it, go back and read that from Greg from that day. It was absolutely fantastic. Well, Greg, I appreciate the time. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend up in Indianapolis, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
See you Sunday, Paul. Thanks. Bye.
All right, much thanks to Greg for taking time. When he got done, he asked me, did I go too long? Did I talk too much? I was like, no, that was gold.
Yeah.
That was just gold. The whole bad joke to Andrew Luck about his six pack. If he's been to the liquor barn or whatever, like, I mean, it's just terrible. Just a terrible joke. I appreciate him sharing it. I can't believe that the fans are hating on Doyle.
I know.
Yeah, they got. That's what columnists do. They get hate. They get hate mail.
I appreciate Doyle.
He's
good.
He is good. Yeah. He's very, very good. If you don't read him, I highly recommend it. IndyStar.com is perfect way to do it. Also, I mentioned it in the interview. Great piece by Zach Kiefer on Andrew Luck and his year away and all the craziness and doubt that he had during that process. So a big Sunday for him. Let's get to it on the record before we bring in optimistic Bobby and Michael Johnson. We got to put the predictions on the record. What are you thinking, Kareem? How do you first of all, we'll be fully staffed.
That's right.
You and Sam making the trip up to Indy, so we have two photographers on the floor.
You know we're going to have great pictures.
We're pulling, of course, always. We're pulling Pat Brennan one more time over. He's going to be helping me out. Doc will be in the house, of course. So we will have a full house of coverage of what is going to happen. Now let's tell them what's going to happen. What do you got?
Well, you want the prediction first?
Go for it.
All right. I think Bengals 31-24.
Yep.
We're going to see a lot of points. I'm excited and I'm curious, you know, because we haven't seen it during this preseason. Mixon take the feature role, you know, first,
be effective
down.
At all.
Yeah. I mean, the offensive line, you know, really hasn't provided enough push, hasn't really done them that many favors so far. But I want to see Mixon kind of get into the rhythm of the game, really start to understand and look at what the defense has given him and see what he can do with it. I think a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what Mixon can do.
Yeah.
AJ Green, I know they always try to see if they can get him involved early. I think that's really important. Week one of the season, they're going to want to see AJ Green and Andy Dalton connect. Move them all over the field.
Colts have no one that can cover A.J. Green, by the way. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. A lot of teams don't. They really don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing, I know I said 31-24, we're going to see a lot of points. I think we're going to see Luck and T.Y. Hilton, that star receiver they have over there, do some damage.
Yeah.
I know the secondary, the Bengals secondary, is in transition. And they want to see some more picks, and I think we're going to see some of that because Luck's coming back, and he might not be up to speed with the game. But I think we're going to see a lot of points in an exciting game. Bengals on top.
One thing we know, they're going to go after Jesse Bates III. I mean, it's his first game playing safety, a position like that, where in T.Y. Hilton is made to go after safeties, particularly inexperienced ones. So I would definitely look for Luck and T.Y. Hilton attacking up the seam, going right at number 30. For me, I'm going to – and maybe I'm a homer. Have I gone soft?
No, come on, Bolly.
I think they blow them out. I do. I think that they blow them out. I think it's 31-17 with a late garbage score to do that. I'm telling you, I think it's obvious. And like, again, I feel like I'm going soft. God knows I picked a lot of L's sitting in this chair for this home team. But the Colts are just really not ready for this. And I mean, and by that I mean they just have so many young players, so many unproven players, so much new happening with them. So much new. And they've looked bad in the preseason. I mean, Greg Doyle, you heard him. I mean, they've been terrible in the preseason. And he thinks they're a long way away. And then the Bengals have been the exact opposite.
Really
you felt the momentum. They look sharp. They seem like they have their crap together right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I personally 31-17 is my final, but I think they blow them out.
You know, 31-24, my prediction, it might not necessarily be indicative of how the game went.
Yeah.
But I just can't help but think that we're going to get a lot of points. And a lot of points means pictures.
That's what you want.
And a lot of
celebration pictures.
Right, and that means I root for
the
me.
Photos,
you know,
the photos of the two guys jumping in the air and hitting each other on the chest bump, that is always a great photo.
Hey, give me that, you know.
You need that. It was on the front of the gallery on Thursday.
Absolutely,
I saw that.
Absolutely.
I saw that with Sam Hubbard, I believe, and
Carl Lawson.
And Carl Lawson jumping up against each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always great. Look, keep an eye out for that. That will be our coverage is going to be out of control on Sunday. So
you're the best coverage.
You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting from us. All right. And what you're going to get from us now is a little bit of Bobby Slattery, optimistic Bobby. his triumphant return. super excited to have him back and sharing his optimistic takes. And again, like, seriously, if you're not drinking the delicious Coast to Coast, dude, Kroger's like, I want more. They pretty much doubled their setup in Kroger for 50 West because Kroger's like, they can't keep it on the shelves. It's unbelievable. They're just absolutely killing it right now. And Bobby's got he's about to drop some news on you about his beer. So I will let him break that news, but breaking news coming. So Optimistic Bobby, and after that, it is Doc with Michael Johnson. Great stuff from Mike on the hot seat, as always. I mean, just Mike needs to run for the mayor of Selma, Alabama, or Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm all for it.
He always has something sharp and interesting and intellectual to say.
Dude,
every time.
So insightful, such a unique individual, mm-hmm. such great ideas, mm-hmm. and an executor. Yeah. Of things like he does. So if you have time and you want to get to know Mike Johnson, I highly recommend it, listening to that. So all right, Kareem, Mr. Romano, thank you very much.
I know, I keep hearing that. I don't mind it.
You don't mind? Ray Romano, he's got a unique voice. He made a lot of money off that voice.
But I do think I'm better looking than he is. Yeah. And I do think that my voice is similar. I'll give you that, but it's not as nasally or as clogged up as his.
No. It's not as nasally.
But I get Ray Romano. It's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I also want to thank everybody that's been watching me, watching us, giving me feedback.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. This is fun, and I hope I bring something to the table.
It's been brought. It's been brought. Now we need to find somebody that sounds like Frank and Marie from Everybody Loves Raymond, and we can get the whole team together. I'm telling you. That's great. I like it. All right, Kareem, thanks. Here's Optimistic Bobby. Have a good one, everybody.
I'm so excited to do this. It's been too long, and so many things have happened, and the season is only days away. I am just trying to envision Bobby Slattery, Optimistic Bobby, owner of 50 West, sitting on the edge of his seat just waiting for Sunday, and particularly Thursday, to get here. You have to be bubbling right now, Bobby. Just bubbling.
Hooray! Couldn't be happier to be back, Paul. I'm thrilled. Except for I will say, this is the worst time of year for me. This is when I'm the least needed.
Yeah, well, right. Everybody today knows what it's like to be you the other 364 days a year. You know?
That's exactly right. You put that really well.
This is how you live.
This is the easy time of year. This is the fun time of year. This is not where you have to really dig deep into your soul to find optimism. If you're not optimistic right now, then just stop. Just stop doing this. It's not worth it. There's plenty of other things to go spend your time on Sundays doing. But right now, this is where all the hopes and dreams, nobody's been crushed. Nobody's formed any opinions. It's NFL is back and football is right around the corner and life is good.
You're most needed, after loss 9, right? I mean, you stated that last year. I mean, that's what you are really necessary to keep, to rise, to help lift people up that are buried in the depths of their soul, right? But now, that's not what this is about. This is about fun. So let's talk about it. What has you most optimistic? I know you're always optimistic. What are you most excited about?
Oh, I kind of love the haters out there. I was, the early season previews that were coming out having us, like, worse than last year, it made absolutely no sense. It didn't make any sense to me how we could possibly be worse than last year. And now all of a sudden you're starting to see it spin. Peter King got on board. I think the team is just, there's a lot of things to be excited about with this team this year. And I'm just excited for football to be back, to get out, watch the team and root for some wins here. I will say, your season preview, the way you had the season falling out, I think if that happens, entire Armageddon will take place between Marvin. if we go 9-7 with the Steelers, like, I can't imagine what that would be. The Marvin talk and the Andy Dalton talk would be at a new level. I almost feel like you did that intentionally.
I did do that intentionally. Well, look, how many seasons do you have to watch come down to the Steelers until you're like, all right, well, if you're going to ask me to predict what's going to happen, maybe it yet again comes down to the Steelers. And they're right there in week 17. Two teams that, I think are going to be the two competing for the division title. It feels like Armageddon in week 17 in Pittsburgh. The total, it's a total chance for the breakthrough moment. That's what it feels like. And in everyone's heart, no one will be able to breathe for 3 hours. You won't be breathing. You'll need a paper bag. It'll be gut wrenching because everyone's waiting for the other team to drop.
And then we lose, and it just reaches that point. Maybe a point lower than when we lost the playoff game. I'm not sure if you can get lower than that. Anyway, this is what I'm excited about. Just all these scenarios that are gonna play out. I think they're gonna be fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. Also excited, you know, 50 West. I gotta put a plug out for all these years I've been sitting here talking about, you know, hey, come down and get a growler. You can finally go to the grocery store and bring 50 West beer to go tailgate. So that I'm excited about. Having run this business now, we're coming up on 6 years, and having, you know, go down to these tailgates and bring a big, like, clunky growler. Now I'm just going to roll down there with my cans. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to drink. We're going to have an official tailgate in Lot D that every person that's listening, you're invited. Come down. You have 50 West beer. You can drink all you want. I know. It's good stuff.
Are you offering up free beer?
Hey, I'm offering you to come to our tailgate, and we'll have lots of
Okay, okay, okay. Just to make sure that you weren't saying, everyone, come down, we're opening taps.
No, I'm telling you. Hey, you are all invited. You're all invited to our tailgate, and we'll be in Lot D up against the wall. Look for the 50 West cans, and come enjoy. And then you're finally going to be able to get 50 West beer in the stadium now, right next to my favorite hamburger place. We got the 16-ounce cans. That's it. I'm done plugging 50 West, though. This isn't about 50 West. This is about the Bengals. This is about the excitement of the NFL season. So my question for you is, what are you most excited about this year, Paul?
You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited about the next game. I'm going to give you my coach answer. I'm excited about the next game. And here's why. Actually, the first game is probably my favorite day of the year, the opener, because coaches and everyone inside of every NFL franchise spend months hiding everything from us, wanting us to know nothing, and they're exposed. Like, they are just, all the optimism can be wiped away. They're totally exposed for whatever it is that they really are right there in week one, and you either learn that they're really good, like the Bengals in Oakland in 2015, or you learn that they're really bad, like they were last year against Baltimore, losing 20-0 and being terrible. And so it's why I love opening day, because you are totally, all the BS that you've been served up is gone. The blanket is gone, and you're just standing there, and you're either wearing a tux or you're naked. That's it.
I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the most beautiful tux you've ever seen. I look forward to Marvin showing up in the press conference. Can you talk to Marvin and tell him to show up in that press conference in a tuxedo? Because that would really make me happy if you got to interview him in a tuxedo. And if they lose, he has to show up naked.
These are both terrible ideas, one particularly more than the other.
I appreciate
your enthusiasm.
Marvin naked probably isn't going to happen.
All right, well, pumped the 50 West beer is going to be in the stadium this year. We should be able to keep an eye out for that and head down to the Pro Works. It's summer still, so I'm sure it's still busy as heck down there.
We're cranking. They got the bike trails coming through. They're going to start construction on that here pretty soon. So it's all good. Life's good at 50 West.
All right. Bobby, thank you very much. I look forward to chatting with you again soon, and let the optimism reign. You're not needed today, but you will be possibly in the future.
I'm here. I'm here when you need me.
We are back on Beyond the Stripes for my favorite segment, and I'm sure yours as well. And Michael Johnson is a veteran of Beyond the Stripes and the hot seat, so he understands what's going on. You ready,
yes, my friend?
I first want to say before we start, I'm really glad that you're back on this ball club, because after they let George Iloka walk, I'm running out of people that I can talk to down there. And you're one of my go-to guys, so thank you, Bengals, for keeping my man Michael Johnson. The relationship this team has with its players became pretty obvious in your case over the past few days, yes? The trust that you have with them and vice versa?
I feel like they've had good relationships with their guys over the years.
Yeah.
At least since I've been here.
How does it compare? I mean, you've only been one other place, but you talk with guys around the league. How does that compare, that trust that you have here?
Well, I think it's a place that our guys would want to come and play at and play for. We have talented players on the roster. They do a good job of drafting and developing guys and keeping everyone in the fold. And I think that's been a good formula for us over the years. We've been successful with it, and I just see it continuing on that way.
Are you an Aretha Franklin fan?
Aretha Franklin, R.I.P. Yes, she was that Queen of Soul?
The Queen of Soul.
Yeah.
Are you old school at all when it comes to music?
I have a wide variety, but yeah, definitely Aretha Franklin, a lot of different old school, Otis Redding, Temptations, OJs, Teddy Pendergrass. You know, I grew up kind of listening to all that stuff that my parents had.
That's right. Everybody my age, which would be like your parents, is to listen to that stuff. Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Turn off the light.
The Love I Lost.
You know, all that good stuff.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're born everybody now.
The Isley Brothers, they from here.
The Isley Brothers are from here.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
This Old Heart of Mine, do you have a favorite Isley Brothers song?
Oh, Spend the Night.
Yeah. How about Fight the Power?
I like the more...
You like the late back
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I liked This Old Heart of Mine, which is one of their very earliest tunes, right?
That's it.
He says, whatever. Whatever you just go with it.
Didn't they do an advertisement shout?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They did it before the Beatles. Everybody gives the Beatles credit for that, but the Isley Brothers and even somebody before them did shout. Michael Johnson is a pretty common name. So I'm going to ask you if you've heard of some of the other Michael Johnsons in sports, all right? Mm-hmm. Michael Johnson, a sprinter and Olympic champion.
Baylor University. Yes.
Baylor University. Of course you've heard of him. Michael Johnson, the UFC lightweight, also known as Michael the Menace Johnson.
I have heard of him.
Man.
I don't know what his stats.
Michael Johnson, the defensive lineman currently at Baylor.
I didn't know that.
Gotcha. Michael Johnson, the wide receivers coach at Oregon.
That's not the same Michael Johnson played at Georgia, is it?
No, this guy's a wide receivers coach.
I know, but it was a Michael Johnson that played at Georgia before. Oh. When I was in like middle school. Okay. It's not the same guy, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't know. I didn't research it that deeply. I didn't expect you to ask me a smart question. Michael Johnson, the pro golfer currently on the web.com tour, who recently finished fourth at the one and only Chitimaca Louisiana Open.
No.
You don't know that guy? Michael Johnson, the professor of art and sculpture at the University of Puget Sound.
I don't think I've heard of that.
You never met that guy's acquaintance either?
No, sir.
What is the best thing Michael Johnson, can do for someone?
Help them not make some of the mistakes that I've made in my life. And also pay forward a lot of the gratitude that's been shown to me. And wisdom has been given to me, like, you know, if I can help. And that's what I try to do when I go out is try to show people, you know, different ways of doing things, especially kids, so that you know, I always say experience is the best teacher. But if you can learn from someone else's mistakes, then I think that's the best, so you don't have to go through it yourself. So I think that's the best thing I can do for somebody.
What's the best thing someone can do for you?
Enlighten me on anything that I may not understand or know.
Yeah. You've been busy, and you just referenced it, doing all kinds of good work. School supplies for 700 kids downtown with you and Carlos Dunlap. What was your favorite school supply growing up?
Ooh. That's tough. Proud of the Trapper Keepers.
Trapper Keeper?
Yeah. You remember? You
know, I did. My kids had Trapper Keepers.
You could get them all cool, different colors, and then they would have all these neat compartments. And you could probably spend, you know, 5 minutes beginning the class, opening it up, going through, you're not really doing anything, but right. just
looking like,
yeah, you're looking like you're doing something.
That's right.
We had all these different compartments, so that was cool. You know, made you feel like you were organized.
Yeah, even if you probably weren't.
Yeah. In third grade, I don't know how organized I was.
My favorite school supply was finger paint.
Finger paint?
Yeah. You ever use finger paint?
I can't remember.
You don't even know finger paint? You know what I'm talking about?
I know. Is it the ones that come in little circles?
No, that's, you mean this big? No, these are big, man. You just dip your hand in that and roll it around. Put it all over the canvas or whatever, the paper.
No, I don't ever.
No finger paint. All right. Man, I'm dating myself all over the place today. You also offered free SAT practice for people. How'd you do on your SATs?
I took the ACT. And how'd you do? I made a 27. I took it twice. I made 27 both times.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
that's really good. That's okay. It's really. I took the SATs. I don't know anything about the ACTs, but I understand that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's better than my kids got.
Yeah, it allowed me to have some options.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's what you want: options, opportunity.
You also were in support of World Milk Day, right? Do you have a favorite brand of chocolate milk? Because mine is Yoo-hoo.
I've had that. I grew up on it in the school systems.
Yeah.
And I hated when they switched it all to low fat. I can't remember what year it was, but one of the years in, I don't know if it was elementary or middle school, but they switched it. And then I had to get used to the taste of it again. But I kept draining. So school milk was probably my favorite.
You get that little half pint mm-hmm. box and stick the straw on the top?
Oh, we just open it up.
Oh, you're so good. All right, half pint probably didn't last you very long, did it?
Nope.
You're also a new member of the Georgia Tech Hall of Fame, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that's going down sometime later this month.
I can't remember
the date.
Do you get a close-up parking spot at the stadium or, like, right to the weightlifting room, which is probably better than the one here?
I don't know. I think just recognition, you know, the career there.
Yeah.
It surprised me. They called me this spring and told me, so I was thankful to get remembered as something that, you know, I could show my kids and grandkids one day.
Why would that surprise you?
I'm the type of person, I just come in, put my head down, go to work.
Don't assume anything.
Nope. Just go about my business.
That's probably the smart way to be. One of your favorite sayings, I think, is be an agent of positive change.
Yes, yes.
What does that mean to you?
Like I talked about earlier, like if you can help someone avoid a pitfall or help them through a negative situation, just that. Do that.
Yeah.
Don't sit on your hands. If you're in a situation where you can help out others, because so many times we turn a blind eye to stuff because it doesn't affect us directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that if you can make a positive impact in someone's life, and it may be some words, it may be your time, it may be financial, like however you can do it. We all been blessed with different resources, with different platforms. So use it for something positive. And I felt like if we all did that, the world would be better. And that's not just cliche, that's for real. If we all looked in the mirror and challenged ourselves to do that.
Are we good enough human beings in this country right now?
We can always be better. I don't like to focus on the negative because that's what is going to get perpetuated throughout. You put the TV on, you open the newspaper, mm-hmm. that's all that's going to be talked about because that's what sells for whatever reason. I would like to focus on more on, you know, the positive things that people are doing and that are going on. And if that got more pub, then maybe people would, you know, join in more and want to do that more, because sometimes the negative can be so loud, it can drown out mm-hmm. All the other positive things that are going on, and people can kind of feel like, man, can I really make a difference with all this I'm facing? But yes, you can. So if you just focus on the positive and continue moving in that direction, and whatever it is you're doing, just know that makes a difference.
One of your pet projects is police community relations. What would you like people to know about the vast majority of police officers that you meet?
the majority of them love like communication, like talking with kids and stuff, talking with people. They want you to not be afraid of them when they come up and talk to you, that because there in a lot of communities there's this stigma that, you know, police are bad. And once again, this is perpetuated by the negative things that are put out on the internet, in the paper. Because when you see, you know, police, bad situations happening with police, well, it's a police brutality situation, and you're seeing that over and over, then as a young person or whatever, or anybody, you start to think, man, you start associating negative things with all police. I mean, that's not the case. And it's the same way when they see people cutting up from certain areas, they associate negative with those people. And just want to try to change that narrative and push more to, we all human, we can all like get along if we get rid of these underlying biases that we may have, that maybe from where we from, maybe from what we see, what we put into our minds from what we read or see on television, and just strip that away and understand, like, hey, this person is, they're afraid because of this. I'm afraid because of that. All right, let's get rid of that, and let's just talk just like me and you talking, and, you know, get respect. And that's some of the main things that we talk about with the kids, is how to, you know, how to deal in a situation when you approached. And it's interesting, the some of the answers that and questions that the kids give. You know, you ask them, well, what do you do when you see a police? You'd be surprised. A lot of kids automatically say, run.
Run. You know, if they haven't done anything.
Even if they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So now you're putting both sides, you know, in a tense situation. And so that's what we like to try to do, is just have that open dialogue with them. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that spreads throughout their communities. And also on the police side, they understand that, hey, these kids are not necessarily bad or doing anything wrong. They're afraid of y'all. So it's work to be done on both sides, where the police letting, you know, law enforcement letting people know that, hey, we're not out to hurt you. We're not out to do anything. We're here to protect and serve. And then on the other side, you know, civilians understanding, hey, they are protected, sir, and I can help them do their job, you know, by not agitating the situation in whatever type of ways. But it's a dialogue that needs to continue to happen, and we got some things in the work we're going to continue doing this year, and I'm excited for it, and mainly, you know, getting law enforcement that in their sections, getting them out into their area so the kids can get familiar with them, and they can get familiar, you know, with each other and whatnot. Because a lot of times you have situations where you got people coming in from different communities, but they're policing these communities that they're not from. So they're not familiar with each other. So when you don't have that familiarity, sometimes things can come up. But when you're familiar with each other, is less likely, because, you know, I've seen you a lot. So if I see you out, it's not going to be any animosity or negativity towards us. But if I didn't know you, it might have an opportunity for something to creep in. So that's pretty much, you know, what we're trying to do on that front, and just continue pushing that.
Well, my last question was going to be what you're going to do after you retire. What's the next big thing for Michael Johnson? But I've already decided that you need to run for public office, and it needs to be around here, and I'm not going to let you say no. Anyway, that's it for the hot seat. My friend, thank you. I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you're a great human being, and I'm glad that I'm around to interview you. We'll be back in 1 minute on Beyond the Stripes.
Thank you.